Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Hello, networkers, and welcome back to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker, and with me is my co-host, Debbie Peters, the networking guru and also my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Greg.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous day, and I got to network this morning with this really neat young man that I met at the chamber lunch recently. And it's just so much fun for me to meet with, you know, people who are in their late 20s, early 30s, who are totally understanding networking, and they're ready to set the world on fire in a gentle way. It really made my morning.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, it's one of those extra benefits of doing your networking, right? Yeah. Connected with exciting people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this time we're actually going to be talking about specifically our networking process, and specifically about kind of building momentum in our networking and following sort of a consistent behavior or a consistent practice. And I know that you've been a networker for how long now?
73 years.
73. Okay, let's go with that. And so I'm kind of curious as to how you maintain a consistent effort in your networking.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, there, we're done. So thank you all. Yeah. Well, first of all, we probably should go on and say why it's so important. I mean, that a lot of people, they have this issue where they, you know, they'll go to the networking event for a few months and then they don't go, and then they'll try to do a little, it's kind of on and off. Oh. And it doesn't seem to, they wonder why it's not paying off.
Okay, so what you're talking about is loyalty, and loyalty is maybe not the right word, but being there.
Yeah, reliability. It's a consistent
reliability. Yeah,
having a consistent practice.
Yeah. So my consistent practice on that is.
You're just going to be difficult for this entire one, aren't you?
Well, you told me I probably have consistency. I just don't think about it.
I said you had a process that you didn't think about it.
So my process used to be, when I worked, that every year when each organization that I belonged to published their events for the year, I would immediately get on my calendar and put everything on my calendar right away.
Oh, okay. So you didn't, I mean, I know a lot of people, they just, okay, it's coming up. They'll get the email and they say, oh, okay, I got to put that on my calendar, or if they put it on their calendar at all.
Well, and if you don't put it on your calendar, if I didn't put it on my calendar right away, something else would get in the way of it. Would, you know, it may have been better or not, but if I am going to be part of an organization, first of all, it's my reputation that hinges on whether I show up or not. Mm-hmm. And so that was the only way I could do it, was right away. Now, like with the chambers, I don't want to call them minor events, but events that are not set a year in advance will pop up. But usually, you know, those at least a month, if not 2 or 3 months in advance. And so each month when I get the chamber newsletter, I go in and see, are there any ones that I don't have on my calendar that I need to add? And typically those are like the coffee hours or the after hours. Sometimes those are scheduled like maybe on a quarterly basis.
Okay. But it is part of your process that as soon as that comes in, you get it on your calendar.
Yeah, this is part of my process that I didn't know I had.
Okay. See, I figured there was something in there. And I know that, you know, like for the National Speakers Association, I know the second Saturday of every odd month, that's when we're going to be getting together. So I just put, I have a recurring event that just automatically shows up on there every single time.
Yeah. It was actually something I learned to do back when I sold payroll service in Detroit.
Okay.
And back in those days, we could take on a client, start running their payroll without having all of their tax information into our system. I can't believe that we did that because of the liabilities involved, but we did it. Mm. But before the end of the quarter, so let's pretend that a client started January 1, before the end of March, the salesperson had to get all that information into the system. And usually it was by, I think, the 25th of that third month of the quarter. And so in my mind, I thought, well, I'm on the 20th, I'm going to call all those clients that I've taken onto the system, because it'll take 5 days for them to get it to me, because this is back before fax machines.
Sure.
Back before the internet.
Across town or whatever.
Yeah, it was hard copy. And so I would have a list of people in my calendar. I had one of those Franklin planner books that each day had a, each day had a page. I would just list all those clients and their phone number and the contact person. So when the 20th of that third month got there, I could spend, you know, at the most an hour making all those calls, and I would get it in. My sales manager loved me because I was the only salesperson in the room that got my information in and got it in on time.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I was the only woman in the sales room also.
Okay, well, there's that. Well, I mean, and we should talk, I guess, a little bit about people. Some people might say, well, I just kind of like flying by the seat of my pants. And, you know, I like just to wing it. And, but I think there's a danger in that mindset is that, you know, it's so easy for something to get in the way.
Well, it's more waiting for something to happen, hopefully, as opposed to making something happen.
Okay.
So if someone's flying by the seat of their pants, they may have the most wonderful thing happen to them because they were, you know, serendipity, they bumped into it, but they can't duplicate it.
Okay.
So where you are planned and you go on a regular basis, you can make things happen based on what you do, as opposed to what you're waiting for.
Well, and you were part of Business Network International, or BNI, for 26 years, right?
Yep.
And I know that they have a fairly strict attendance policy.
Yeah.
You either need to show up or you have to have a substitute show up every single week.
Yeah, it's your marketing time.
Yeah.
So if you don't show up, you're wasting an hour and a half of your marketing time that you've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't get that time back.
Well, and you it's sort of also the top of mind thing. If people aren't seeing you there, it's easy to forget about you. And that's with BNI, it was, I mean, if you miss a week, it's only 2 weeks that they didn't see you. But if it's at a chamber event, if you don't show up for if you don't show up for July, that might mean that they didn't see you from June to August. So that's 2 months that you weren't not in front of them and they weren't thinking about you.
Yeah.
So you got to take those opportunities where you can.
Yes. So, yeah. So that was how I had continuity. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Continuity. Consistency that works too.
Consistency. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, so I don't know.
There's also a danger of the gap that can happen is that you just get out of practice. You know,
yeah.
if you start getting work coming in and you just don't have time for it and you start leaving it off. Oh, I'm just going to skip today. I'll be back on it next week. Well, then next week comes along and something else comes up. And before you know it, you haven't been doing your networking for 2 months.
And that turns business owners or salespeople into salespeople that have high wins and deep lows. So the sales cycle is like scary cliffs up and down, deep valley.
Feast or famine cycle.
Yeah. Because if you get busy and then say, well, I can't go to the chamber for the next 2 months because I'm way too busy, then what happens is in month three, then you can go to the chamber because you don't have anything going on because you haven't been on a regular basis, adding to your opportunity, whether that's meeting people, adding prospects, whatever that is, adding to your funnel. And so you end up being one of those salespeople that has, you have a
sharp peaks and deep valleys.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a mental illness.
your sales cycle has a bipolar disorder of some kind.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And so that's what I would, when I manage a sales team, I would say, I totally understand, you know, the fourth quarter is for payroll service is really, really, really busy. And especially December.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but January is going to be here. So you have to figure out, maybe you're going to have to work extra hours in December in order to be able to go to that evening networking event that, you know, will keep the train moving a little bit, maybe not as fast as it does in the summer when we're not quite as busy, but you want to, if you, I often envision going to Henry Ford Museum, and you went there as a child. Do you remember the big steam engine that's on display there?
I do vaguely remember that. Yes.
Do you remember how huge it is?
I was four. So, you know,
well, I was not four, but I looked at it. It was huge. And you can imagine how heavy it is. Mm-hmm. So I always envision how much effort it takes to get that steam engine moving down the track.
Oh, and sure. Then
once it gets started, just the weight of the engine will keep it going with a little bit of fire. But whereas if you let it slow down and stop again, then you've got to have a huge effort to get it moving
again. Because, you know, as we tell tell our students, tell our clients that, you know, that networking it's a long process. It's not, I don't want to give people any of the idea that you go to the networking event to hunt down your prospects and put them in a headlock. It's a long process. You're developing relationships over a long period of time. And so if you let up on the gas, so to speak, that means you got to kind of restart that process all over again. Maybe not back where you were before, but again, it's a series of peaks and valleys as opposed to a nice smooth increase.
Yeah, and it's never going to be smooth. You're always going to have a cycle up and down, up and down, up and down. But I told my salespeople, you want it to go up and down and up and down as fast as you possibly can. And the way to do that, is to keep the cycle moving. And, you know, maybe it's slow, but at least it's moving forward.
Well, you find things you can do even on a daily basis, which are those soft touches that might not take you very much time, you know, a quick email or commenting on someone's Facebook page or something like that. Just those little things to keep in their circle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have sort of what I would refer to as a daily practice? Did you do certain things over the course of a day? Like, I know.
Brush my teeth.
Okay. Did you set aside time to do your email to people, or was it more you'd have an event and then you'd set aside time after the event in order to take care of things? I mean, how did you manage that?
If I went to an event like a chamber lunch, of course, as you know, my goal was to only get two business cards because I'm too lazy to get more than that.
Okay.
But many times, you know, like sometimes at the chamber lunch, they have you pass your cards around the table. I get more. So yeah, I would set aside time. I'd put those, you know, on my desk, not anywhere else. They would be looking at me on my desk. And then hopefully within 24 hours, I would get back to the ones that I want to get back to, put the information into my system so that, you know, it's there so I can get back to people. And then I would throw the cards away so it didn't clutter up my desk too much.
Okay.
I did. I guess I had a system for that. And my system, of course, when I went to an event was I only wanted to, you know, two cards, because I didn't want a great big handful of cards I had to react to because I didn't want to work that hard.
Okay.
And plus, if you go to three or four networking events a week and you get two cards, that's eight new people or eight people. Right.
And if even only half of them get back to you, you still added a fair number to your, I mean, that's why you have 3,500 people in your Rolodex, right?
Yeah. it mates at night, you know that.
Okay. Is there any other things you would recommend for people in order to maintain a consistent practice?
This is painful, Greg.
See, I think you don't realize that you are consistent. And I mean, I've seen your calendar. You have a certain number of meetings each week that you are meeting with people, that you're having coffee with people. You go to a certain number of events. I mean, you have a regular practice. I don't think you've just thought about it as such.
You're right. I just do.
It's like the person who makes bread by how, you know, they put the ingredients in it by how it looks. Whereas I'm the person that's got the knife to smooth the top of the cup to make sure it's exactly a cup.
Yeah, no, that would not be Debbie.
No.
And that's probably why I have baking failures sometimes. But I don't think I said to myself recently, at least, I want so many one-to-ones, meeting with people per week, or so many events.
Well, you're retired now, so you're allowed to not do that
anymore. I mean, even when I wasn't retired, I don't think I did that. I just had them. But I will go back to when I was working for Paychex in Detroit, and we were asked, they had a new program, and that was where the salespeople had to entertain CPAs at breakfast or lunch. And the quota the company set for us was we had to have a minimum of 2.
Oh, okay.
Well, I figured if I entertained at 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches, then I won't have to buy so much food at home and I'll have more money to go skiing.
So there's a secondary benefit there.
No, that was my main benefit. I wanted to go skiing. And if I had to, you know, talk to these CPAs, that was my method of getting there. So my goal was to have 10 meals per week with CPAs. That was my goal every week.
Okay. So you did set yourself a goal. I mean, and that would be at least a mechanism to measure whether or not you're staying in a consistent practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's so hard, Greg. I don't like this topic.
Okay. Well, I'll let you off the hook then. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning into our program today. If you did enjoy it, and I hope you did, please do comment on our Facebook pages. The information is in the show notes. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your consistent process for networking. What do you do? How do you keep yourself on track? Of course, if you'd like to hear more, please do subscribe. We come back every single week and we would hate to miss you. And until next time, go out and make some great connections. Talk to you later, Mom.
All right, Greg. Come up with better ideas next time.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.